Hi, good morning, Corey. How are you doing?
I am well, and you?
I am okay. You by any chance read anything about Antigua threatening to take Barbados to carry come over the travel bubble?
Yes, I did. I didn't understand it, but I saw it.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand that either, but it seems as though Barbados has quickly retreated and sort of opened its arms to Antigua again to adjust what level would be accepted by Barbados.
What made you say that? What evidence you have of that? Because I didn't hear them take them off the list or anything. They took them off the list.
Being Barbados?
Did Barbados?
No, they adjusted. Barbados had said that every person, high risk, low, whatever, when they come in, they still have to take the tests.
Right.
Antigua protested that because they felt that they were not in the high risk, even medium, I think, category. So they, according to the news report, Antigua threatens to take Barbados to CARICOM. And subsequently, Barbados adjusted, their position on Antigua.
Can I use your call to call for a periodic update on COVID so we can have issues? Remember when we had COVID first started, we had a daily or sometimes a few a week, we would hear from the officials. Because for me, when I hear about this high, low, medium, I hear about the bubble, I would understand that these things are calculated or assigned scientifically. So you would say X amount of population, per capita virus, per capita death, whatever, so you have an objective measurement, would place a person in low, medium, high. And I don't believe it's by a whim, a fancy, or favoritism that you would put a country, nation, or other island in this category. So these questions need to be asked and heard by the general population. And I want to use your call to ask the Ministry of Health to have some periodic briefings on COVID, because it's still a reality around the world.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with you on that point, but as the report says that from Antigua, if Barbados did not indicate by today's Wednesday.
Wednesday, yes, Wednesday the 11th. Mm-hmm.
By yesterday, where it has placed the island on its list.
But where you saw that they changed? Because I didn't see anything like that. I didn't hear anything like that.
Oh.
I didn't see it or hear. I know that we update the travel protocols regularly. So, for instance, Antigua's rate may drop, so then we may drop them back, something like that. So, I don't want to go on wild speculation. That's why I think we should have the officials saying.
The information as to Barbados realigning its position with Antigua is just a click away. On the Google.
Or you anticipated. I thought you see it.
No, I'm saying that the Barbados adjusted based on what Antigua. Was saying that they would carry Barbados to, if somebody wants to challenge me on that, well, they can.
But sure, if it is tweaked, a case, someone will
tweet. Barbados said, instead of having this carte blanche thing about, when you come in, you have to do this and you have to do that. Mm-hmm. Antigua, Barbados has tweaked its position.
So somebody told me that Barbados moved Antigua from high risk to medium. Was that done because of the threat, or was that done because there was a per capita virus load lowering over the period of time?
You have a paper today. You have a paper in your hand today.
I do.
Look at the back page. I think it's a little clip at the back page, and look at the top of that place and see what it says. I think I saw something like that.
Yes, it's here. I'm seeing it now.
But it
says here that Antigua and Barbuda, which was formerly on the list of countries deemed to be high risk by health authorities in Barbados, has now been moved into the medium risk category.
Mm-hmm.
But my question before stands, was it moved because of the threat, or did it move because there was a change in the virus position in Antigua? That's my question.
Well, I don't know if I could be presumptuous. If you were a teacher and you tell a student that if he doesn't move, or if he doesn't move that cup from off the table, time you get back, and when you get back, the cup gone. What would you attribute the moving of the cup?
I don't like to do a lot of assuming, because we know the world popular saying about assuming. Because the second line says, additionally, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, which was medium risk category, has been shifted to lower risk. So Saint Vincent tried in Barbados.
Yeah, Corey, I understand. I call you Corey. Corey, I understand what you're saying. I understand that you wouldn't want to commit yourself to, you know, to jump into a conclusion. Yeah. You know, based on what said. But anyhow, but quickly before I go, I want to just bring back up the Guyana situation. Mm-hmm. And I some time ago I heard the OB, you know, interview. I don't know if it was one of the officials from Guyana. I think it was a man who described himself as a spokesperson for the Guyana government. He was a private sector person. And had a conversation with one of the reporters. I think it's called News. On the evening news, it's called News Extra or something. And he was able to articulate, you know, the position of the government of Guyana, you know, as to what they're doing and what they're not doing. And it seemed as if it was, based on my knowledge and following of what is going on in Guyana, it seemed as if it was more like a PR piece and whatnot. And I'm not telling the OB what to do, because they do not know how the conversation with the representative from the Guyana government came about. But it would be good if some person, even from Guyana, from the opposition, can call in to VOB and speak to what they are experiencing in Guyana since they were out of government. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because it's a very interesting debate, but I do not understand how a government in CARICOM can flood out squatters, you know. Barbados, a couple of months ago, had the problem with squatters and whatnot, and the Prime Minister and our government found it, you know, in the most humane way, even to the chagrin of some of Barbadians, to find place to put these people. Okay. But here you have a government in Guyana letting out water, flooding out squatters, and these people, someplace got success. And these people have to run to find some place to go. And nobody is talking about it. Mm-hmm. I know that CARICOM is busy with elections, the elections in St. Vincent, with the chairman now being Gonzales, the elections in Commitment Antigua. We have one in now here with the by-election.
But being busy is not an excuse, man. They got and chew gum. They got different.
Right, point taken. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that, you know, nobody is speaking. This is such a callous act, you know, and there was even the youngsters who got killed, you know, and you don't know what has happened to that. Mm-hmm. You see,
I agree with you. We need somebody from on the ground there that's credible to come and speak so that have a better
Mr.
idea.
Mr. Corey, you know, I appreciate and appreciate what you're doing.
But hold on. I agree with you. You just say you wanted somebody from the opposition to come and speak, and I agree with you.
Oh, you're endorsing what I'm saying.
I'm endorsing what you're saying.
You have a style that sometimes you still got a question. But
Don't get scared. Don't get carried away.
Right, but my last question, my last point quickly, and this is to do with the same Guyana vis-a-vis United States of America. Here you have in America now, Pompeo, the Secretary of State, and he is telling the Democrats he's telling the news media in America that they're preparing to have a transition to Donald Trump to get another term.
Yeah, a second term of Trump. Yeah,
a second term, right? And this same man, Pompeo, he was in Guyana a couple months ago telling the people in Guyana that they must accept the decisions of what was supposed to be a controversial election in Guyana. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, CARICOM has found itself on the side of United States that is creating a problem now in terms of transparency in the democratic process.
Some people say he was joking. But that Pompeo was joking. Some people say that.
If they had asked me, you would consider that I am joking, but you are telling me that the one of the third most powerful men in America or the world, can make a statement.
He's a trumpet, you know, sir. You got to consider that too. These are not conventional. He's a trumpet. These are not traditional, conventional people. These are very special people. You understand? So I think me and CARICOM may have to, and Africa and the states need to go up to the United States and help them. No, they've helped us all these years. So we may have to go and help them sort out their transition of power issues at this time. It's only fair. They've helped us all these years. It is time we go and help them. But on a serious note, it is time to take a break. This is the Wednesday edition of Don't Brass Stats. And this is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Stats with your technical operator and producer, John the Lion Stout, and your moderator, Mr. Curry Lane. I am here with you, and you are here with me. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning, Curry.
Hey, yes, morning and welcome. Thanks for calling.
Good, good. I want to look a little bit here at T20 cricket. Mm-hmm. You follow the cricket game?
Here and there. I follow every little sport a little bit. But none too much. You talking 2020 cricket, are you?
2020 cricket, yeah. You know, big business in the world, you know.
Yes.
It has changed the whole perspective of the game.
Correct.
And people now are following it, but the millions now.
Correct.
And a lot of West Indian cricketers have become a lot of millionaires.
Correct.
With the game. The clothing has changed. The law has changed. The length of the game has changed.
They say it's a merger between entertainment and sports. And sports is always supposed to be entertainment, but this is 2020 is the grand merger of sports and entertainment.
Yeah,
yes.
But it has hooked a lot of people in the net anyhow, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to look at here, basically, is that I'm hoping my contribution here, that the West Indies Cricket Board will be able to look at something here, because since so much has changed in the game, I'm rooting for this particular thing. And I hope that I can look at it. Now, in the game of this T20 game, all the dismissals go to the bowler except the run out. And these dismissals go to the bowler because the bowler has caused the batsman to err in some way. When they get stumped, when they get caught at a wicket, hit wicket, LBW, whatever. And I'm saying that the run out now, because the game is changing so much and these new inventions are coming in the game, I believe that the run-out should also go to the bowler. Now, you have a bowler who will bowl at least a maximum of 4 overs. And he might get 4 overs, and he might get 12 runs knocked off his 4 overs and get no wickets. But he had 2 run-outs in his sessions, 2 or 3 run-outs in his sessions. And those run-outs go a-begging. Those run-outs go to nobody. Now, you have a fellow who bowls 4 overs now and get 30 runs knocked off him, and he might get 3 wickets. You know, and those 3 wickets may be LBW, may be caught on ball or whatever. But the point I'm making here is that the run-out route should go to the bowler. Since we're changing the game up so much now, mm-hmm. and we have so many new factors involved in this T20 cricket, it is time that we give the run-out route should go to the bowler, because in my opinion, he caused an error in the batsman's part.
All right, you made your point. You don't repeat yourself. I hope that somebody listening, I don't know if you're a day late, you weren't missing, I guess, but the whole idea is that you've made your point, and if these are good business people, they would take it into consideration and adjust the suit. Because I kind of agree with you. You know, the 2 runouts is 2 outs. It just lost in midair.
It's lost.
So it got to go somewhere and to somebody. So I want to agree with you on that.
Thanks a lot, man.
You're welcome, man. Okay. Mason, I guess. I mean, Brass Stats, good morning.
Good morning to you and your producer.
Morning.
Yeah, man. I called to you about 2 issues. One is that I can't understand. Last year, I had a problem. The 2.5 days we had electricity on, my things got, I had to throw them out from the fridge. And November again this year, last week, my radio was playing, listening to the morning program, and the radio went boom. You understand? I got compensation for last year. I had to write a letter now. I hope that people here understand good enough.
You got any response from the Barbados Light and Power?
They didn't give me no money, no, nothing, so.
Let me any response, response.
Tell me one that, then the woman said that they don't pay for nothing, so. You understand? But I had to buy my stuff.
You got an electrical report and all that done? Because they had to go through a process like that. It didn't take 7 years. I could tell you it took just under a year, which I thought was too long. But so when that guy told me only 7 years, he almost made me follow each year. But you're telling me you went through the whole process. Did you just report it, or did you fill out the form they have?
I wrote a letter to them, and they right. come and tell me that them don't deal with nothing. So
no, it don't work. It don't work like that. They don't, because they have to investigate it. So what you usually do, you fill out a form, and you get an electrician to do up a report, and you submit it, and then it's considered. You don't call on somebody, because
Right. Call me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I said them don't deal with nothing, so, right? And that type mm-hmm. of thing. I know in my radio call friend, my tell me to call, to write a letter and call in the program, because mm-hmm. something gonna happen. Right? I yes. set up with this foolishness November last year. I had a problem. November again this year, a similar problem. But now, my radio gone boom.
I would advise that you call and ask to speak to the manager. And if you don't get satisfaction, I have to speak to the managing director and keep going.
Because I read a letter, I'm sending it off. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Well, you got to follow up the letter, because you don't know where the letter ends up. You know, somebody, it may drop off somebody, that's the farm, may blow it off in the waste paper basket. So you may want to call and speak to somebody senior, okay?
Yeah, but I can go and do that.
Do that for real.
Let me really say. Anyhow, my next issue is, right, with the local rain and hurricane and thing that we have in now, mm-hmm. right? If you check the Channel 8 Belize, right, mm-hmm. this thing is really depressing. It hurts in your mind. If you see the water, amount of water, and the roads and thing, and they're like, they got such proper roads. From what they show you on video, mm-hmm. man, you talk about wells. Mm-hmm. Them got, I don't know, them got tanks in the road. Yeah. You understand? The tank is like mud tracks. And it really hurt you. And the man said he was laying down. Next thing he wake up, he see water. She had to wake up. She had to stay awake for 2 days and thing. And the nurse was complaining about the situation that I want moving from out there. But people, man, I feel around the road should really help these people, man. Do a little charity and help these people, man. It's really depressing. I can't watch no more than the woman there, so I was trying to scrub out the water, out the place, the muddy water and thing. It was murky, man. You go and check
which country you said this is?
Belize. Channel 8, okay. Belize, okay. Channel man. Belize. It hurt your heart, man. Really right. hurt your heart,
a lot of these
man.
People being monitored by the International Red Cross and so on, so I'm hoping that your pleas
go up. I'm a first aider, right? I belong to that organization, belong to the other organization, but I was still put
what's the other organization, the St. John Ambulance?
Yeah, I was still put a little $20 and send on the road to help. But man, it really pressed. I couldn't take that anymore. You talk about flooding. When I was 5 years old, I see flooding in the park, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. I pray to my Almighty that we would never have a flood again. I hope Belgians would never want to see a flood. Man, this thing is so devastating. Oh, Lord, when I see it happening in Belize, I say, shoot, man, this thing is something else, man. Really hurting, man.
I actually want to encourage you in the way you're going. Some people, I have a lot of messages here, like somebody from the end of Bush Hall Yard Gap. They say that Corey have called every possible entity to get this manhole fixed since it's a main artery for vehicles, and to date, nothing. This other one says, good morning, Corey. I don't call them potholes. I call them sinkholes. They're so big. People say, wait, you don't give $20 to Belize when we got potholes about here, but I'm not like that. I believe we are all one humanity divided by oceans. And you could probably put $20 there and $20 here, you know, and help here and help your fellow man out there too.
Yeah, you gotta help. That's really depressing, Corey. When you go and you look to see for yourself, right? You can watch one video, right? And you can turn off the rest.
Yeah, when I watch some of those things, you know what I'm saying? What hearing, boy, eating mud pies and the floods.
And the man take the number and try and build a little sign that they can walk over and that sort of thing, right? And all the people got choked the things and things like that. It's so heartbreaking. You know, the water real high. And that type of thing, and the old people, and think, well, today is their duplicate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, so.
Well, beautiful. Well, Belize, you have people here in Barbados thinking about you. That's one thing I can say here. This one says, Corey, your earlier gentleman is correct. All the manholes in Carina Village are now below road level. Now that it is paved. Brass Stacks, good morning. You're on the air. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Hey, morning.
Corey Lane?
Yes, it is. Corey Lane.
I was wondering what became of you.
I'm still here, man. Don't worry about it.
Okay, sir. To be honest, there was a former conversation I heard between you and a caller.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly was very disappointed with your response. And I was really wondering if I would ever get a chance to mention it to you.
Okay, you know, let me hear.
Apparently, the guy was an offender.
Mm-hmm. An offender?
Yeah, like, what do you call it? He brought the law or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was speaking about his experience at the prison. And I don't know if he was stripped or whatever. And he said that whatever procedure he went through the second time, they already, the people would have known that they wouldn't have anything, whatever, whatever. And you were kind of like, for me, you came across as unsympathetic, like, oh, so you didn't know that, you know, what you were getting into.
It was me? It was
me? Yes, Corillian, right? And anyway,
I was speaking to offender, and
he called in on the call-in program.
Right.
And he was relating an experience that he had at the prison. So I don't know if they made them strip. And I mean, I've heard stories.
Right.
But I don't know for sure.
Mama, I'm not running from it, you know. I just back up what you say. But I can't realize when I speak to an offender.
But that's why I can't even. I was wondering what became.
That years ago that happened?
That was probably last year.
Okay, well, if I was offensive, let me apologize. Although when I speak to people, I would usually speak towards the end of consequences. What I speak, especially my students,
I know that
I look at you know, thinking before you act, because working with people in prison or people coming to prison, one of the things that is common is a lot of them say shoulda, coulda, woulda. It was a moment of rage, etc. And what they try to do is get them to think about that before they actually act to prevent them from acting, but I would not want to be insensitive to anybody or something like that. So let me apologize for that.
Okay, I don't know.
I have no recollection of the conversation, but let me apologize for safety.
But to you or any listener, I don't know if you are a believer in the Judeo-Christian theology, but there is a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 3. And before that, it is a matter of dealing with people who are condemned, right? So if you have an issue, you want to justify the righteous and you want to condemn the wicked. But it states, 40 stripes he may give him, meaning the person who is condemned, and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, your brother should be degraded in your eyes. Now, a lot of us out there might not know, but the penal system, even though it will not be told to us, the people in the public, is about degrading people who are caught in the law. And there are a lot of people who end up before law courts who are victims of abuse one way or the other. And like you just said, in a moment of rage or circumstantial situations, they find themselves doing things that on hindsight they regret. And I could prolong the discussion, but I wouldn't get into that. Now, this president, former president of America that everybody is gloating over, Barack Obama, he also said when he was in power, referring to the Muslim people that he claimed he was so for, that needed to be, you know, dealt with in terms of the foreign policy. You ever heard of Irina Sandler?
No, please.
She was also nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize when Barack Obama was also nominated. And we all know that Barack Obama got it. But she was a lady who helped the Jews during World War II, right? Now, I happened to be listening to a pastor, and he was talking about the time when Jesus was born and the Magi had come to Israel. I don't remember which part of food, but they went to Herod, and when Herod was inquiring, and they said, behold, you know, there were so many of these people, lo and behold, you know, and although the Jews were expecting,
ma'am, I can give you a minute, right, but what's happening is, what you usually do is try to connect the callers with the listeners, right, and I'm searching for a point so that I could, hold on, I want to know what's the point for real, but I don't want to faint, because you know you already had apologized for your team morning already.
I'm finding a point. Is that what is going on right now in the world? People seem to have been caught off guard. Because even though the Jews had a prophecy that they were expecting Jesus, we now live in the times where we are supposed to be looking for the second coming of Jesus. And we are in critical times. And people are again being caught off guard because Herod had to call the people, the prophets, and say, but, you know, where's this man supposed to be born? Mm-hmm. You know, and they said, but he's supposed to be born in this place.
Right.
And although this was supposed to be their savior, and right now, the Bible predicts that a truth will be called the lie, and a lie will be called.
I understand what you're saying.
The truth.
That Trump is, could be the truth that we're calling the lie.
But not me. Not me.
No.
No.
Oh.
In esoteric terms, I'm just going to finish with this.
Mm-hmm.
I found it very interesting. Barack Obama was the 44th president.
Mm-hmm.
President Donald Trump is the 45th president. I don't really deal a lot with esoteric teachings. But in terms of numerology, they say that 44 deals with business, and who have ears to hear, let them hear, and 45 deals with humanitarianism.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read Isaiah 45, any person who is in the realm of the spirit would know that it refers to President Donald J. Trump. And finally, think that he will. I do believe that he won the elections fair and square, because from day one they did not.
Amazing.
No, it's not amazing. We are listening to the propaganda machine put up by the left, and they want us to think the way they want us to think.
True.
Because they have their own hidden agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And if you
the bamboos and everything.
That's right, sir.
Correct.
But if
Correct.
We don't think for ourselves, if we don't do our own...
So where you didn't come out? Because his name Brass Stacks, down to Brass Stacks. Not Discussion Wednesday. Where you didn't come out and say that from the beginning?
No, sir. I you don't know me. I've been on this program so many different
But times. No, I pick up where you... I had to pick up. I had to sift through to get what you were saying. No, you didn't come out and say...
No, but I was trying to work up.
Oh, you're trying to work it. That's the you call here, right? I want you to get down the brass tacks, all right?
Okay.
Love you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
The Wednesday edition of Down the Brass Tacks will be right back. Welcome back. Let me get a couple WhatsApps in here before we go back to the line. This one says, morning, Corey. Can you find out what is going on with the sanitation building in St. Thomas? Nice opening with that lady, by the way. Thanks, and thanks to you, too. This one says, good day, Corey. Can you invite the Minister of Labor on this program to discuss what the government is doing about these thievish employers that take out your NAS money and don't pay in? The police can arrest a person for leaving quarantine, but the police can't arrest those thievish employers who steal your NAS contribution and does not pay in your NAS. Can you believe that? I can. So, what should we do about the people that don't pay NAS? And a lot of that happened, and COVID brought it to the fore. This one says, I'm living in the UK. About 5 years ago, I got a tire destroyed by a pothole just below Cave Hill University. I took the pictures of the pothole, took the replacement receipt and the damaged tire to MTW in the Pine. I have a letter from them confirming that the matter was reported, still waiting for the $200 cost of replacing the tire. Well, by estimation, you got another 2 years to wait, and you should be okay. Only 2 more years to go. One more. Hi, Corey. I cringe every time I hear people speaking about the wonderful neighborhoods in Barbados. Crap, it is. I'm a returnee, and I moved into what I was led to believe a wonderful development. Nonsense. In my area, I have a next-door neighbor who has 6 dogs. Adjacent is another neighbor who have 5 dogs. Next to that is another neighbor who has 3 dogs. 14 dogs in all. Corey, these dogs bark nonstop, day and night. And I've been asking the neighbors who are totally fed up with the incessantly nonstop barking to write to our MP. None of the complaining neighbors would agree to sign a petition because they don't want no trouble. I have spoken time and time again to the dog owners, but to no avail. So they went on how they talk, they call the health authorities, the people have asthma, the dog feces. It's a pretty long WhatsApp, but I think y'all get the message. Brass Stacks, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Greetings and salutations to your good self.
Right back at you.
I shall begin my conversation with you by first quoting words attributed to Philip Gilbert Hamilton. Quote, I value society for the abundance of ideas that it brings before us, but I value solitude for sincerity and peace and for the better understanding of the thoughts that are truly ours. End of quote. I can almost say that the countdown for the removal of licensing statute is imminent. And without doubt, I see no reason why the statue of the only natural living hero, the Right Excellent Sir Garfield Sobers, can't be removed from its present location and replace Lord Nelson's. This, the expectation of Sir Reynolds Hall statue to be completed for this year's independence celebrations can very well go where Sir Guy is now located. It is easy in the world to live after the world's opinion. It is easy in solitude to live after your own. But the great man is he who in the midst of the crowd keeps with perfect sweetness the independence of solitude, Ralph Waldo Emerson. And I would end by saying, if the Right Excellent Sir Garfield can't win favor with the powers that be, then the three W's should be considered by removing their best from the careful and replace Lord Nelson and with their statues, which is now at KFL. I think the question be asked on what would be put now in place with the two W's. The answer is easy. You should recall that it was an oversight by not giving Mr. Desmond Haynes the knighthood, Mr. Gordon Grimmage. Replacing the two W's at KFL with Sir Conrad Hunt, Sir Gordon Grimmage, and in the waiting to Desmond Haynes. Thanks for your patience as I wait your response.
I think that the program like this, as I said, is very powerful because it allows persons like yourself to express, and then those governing is then in a position really to take your comments on board and be able to work with them. I don't necessarily have a strong opinion in terms of where to put who. I just know who I want move and who I want, you know, I don't know how to say, well, put this body there or not. Sir Garfield Sobers, I know he is fit for his age. He moved from Sir Garfield Sobers, from the Garfield Sobers roundabout to Kensington now to move him up to town. I think there's a lot of moving. But I believe it's not, well, it should not only be about my opinion. We want to hear the opinion of you, the callers, and then those of governing able to see what many people's thoughts are. So thank you very much for sharing that with us.